Hello, everyone. This is the CircuitPython weekly meeting for July 27th, 2026. It's the time of the week where we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. My name is Tim, and I am sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python that is designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. The development of CircuitPython is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you want to help support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from them, which you can do on their website, adafruit.com. This meeting gets hosted on the Adafruit Discord server. You can join anytime by going to adafru.it/discord. We hold a meeting in the CircuitPython dev text channel as well as the CircuitPython voice channel. The meeting typically happens on Mondays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern and 11 a.m. Pacific time, except when that coincides with a U.S. holiday, In the notes doc, there is a link to a calendar, which you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. We also send out notifications about the upcoming meetings via Discord. If you'd like to receive those notifications, ask to be added to the CircuitPythonista's Discord role, which incidentally is the same role you need in order to speak. So if you want to join the meeting and want pings when we change the day or time, that is what you can do, is head over to Discord. Just ask us to add you to that CircuitPythonista's role. There is a shared notes document that accompanies the meeting and recording. You can contribute to that document beforehand. The final notes document includes timestamps to go along with the video, so you can use it to skip around to the parts of the video that interest you most. The meeting tends to run 30 to 60 minutes, depending on how many folks we have, sometimes a bit quicker, sometimes a bit slower. After each meeting, we post a link to the next meeting's notes document in the CircuitPython dev channel here on Discord. You can always check the pinned messages in the CircuitPython dev channel throughout the week to find the latest notes doc so you can add your notes and hug reports for the upcoming meeting. If you would like to participate but can't attend, then you are free to leave hug reports and status updates in that document. Just leave a little note by your name that says, like, notes only or can't attend or something to that effect, and the host will read your notes off for you during the meeting. The meeting does get held in five parts. First up, we'll look at community news, a chosen set of items from the Python on Microcontrollers newsletter, I should say. Then we will look at the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka, a quantitative overview of the entire project, a chance to look at the project by the numbers, separate from our status updates. Third is the first of our round robins, the hug report section. That's an opportunity to highlight good things that folks are doing. We can take a moment to recognize the awesome folks in our community and beyond. Status updates is the next round robin. During the status update section, we'll go around the table and each person can have a minute to talk about what they've been working on over the past week and what they'll be up to over the next week until the next meeting. The fifth and final part is in the weeds. That is an opportunity for some more long-form discussion. It can either be discussion that comes out of something in status updates or something that is identified ahead of time as needing some back and forth, some questions and answers back and forth, or just a larger discussion involving more people. If you have any in-the-weeds topics that you would like to get discussed, go ahead and just leave those in the notes doc down in the appropriate section. Put a little bullet point with your name and whatever you'd like to talk about. When we get to that section, we'll call on you or read out the notes if you are not here, and then we can discuss. So with that, I will get us into community news after I take the first timestamp here. All right. And I will tell you a bit about where all of these items came from at the end of the news section. But to start with, a couple items that caught my eye this week. The first one is the release of CircuitPython 10.3.0 Alpha 4. CircuitPython 10.3.0 Alpha 4 is an alpha release for 10.3.0. It adds further features, changes, and bug fixes that will get added before the final release of 10.3.0. There are links here to the Adafruit blog as well as GitHub release notes, and a couple highlights of this release, which I will read for you here, are the audio file writer module, audio delays granular pitch shift module, SDIO, audio delays, audio filters, audio freeverb have all been enabled on the RP2 port, CircuitPy BLE workflow, CircuitPy safe mode delay, and CircuitPy Wi-Fi hostname settings was added to the settings.toml file to control various aspects. storage.unsafe disable USB drive to disable the CircuitPy drive after it has been mounted. This is a very cool new feature for toggling on and off the ability to write to CircuitPy from the host computer versus CircuitPython itself. Next up, we have lowered the default Wi-Fi power from 20 dBm to 15 on all boards with chip antennas. A couple of fixes for USB host, a couple of fixes for Espressif BLE, a fix for ESP Now on Espressif devices, and an update to Tiny USB to get us back in line with the main branch of that project. Next up from the newsletter, we have Tiny Programmer lets you watch as it tinkers with Python all day. Juniet Arshker, I very likely mispronounced the name, so my apologies if so. This person created the Tiny Programmer, which is a device that goes through a loop of building, checking, running, and watching Python programs. It picks one of 36 programs to build, including the Game of Life, Pong, Fractals, and 3D Plots. It will choose a random large language model from those that are available to build it. The device codes at a human speed, with its characters appearing on screen as if typed by a keyboard. Juniet has run Tiny Programmer 24/7 on a Raspberry Pi 02W and a Raspberry Pi 4, but does mention any Pi would do just fine. If, however, you want to use local LLMs, then they would suggest the 4GB or 8GB RAM model of Pis. There are links here to Raspberry Pi News and GitHub. And yeah, this project caught my eye. I think it's a cool little sort of eclectic widget, basically, to have a little LLM that can program tiny little games and stuff and just run on a loop and watch it, see what it does. I think that's a neat thing, especially with the local LLMs, as they mentioned, using some of the higher-end Pis, maybe even the one of the AI hats or something like that. I think there could be something cool here as well, where we have a Pi that programs a microcontroller in this sort of similar sand garden-y, just observe it sort of way. So very cool project there. Next up, we have a 3D printed lab with Disco Science real-time game sync. I couldn't resist including this one in the meeting here today. I actually submitted this one to the newsletter as well. So I'll tell you a little bit more later on about how you can submit your own topics to the newsletter. But this is for a game that is near and dear to my heart, Factorio. Inside of Factorio, there's a science lab that has some glowy lights inside of it. That's sort of just part of the game, how you play. And this person made a little 3D printed one that sits on your desk. There's a microcontroller with some RGB LEDs inside of it. And they hooked up an MQTT server written in Python to sync back and forth between the microcontroller and the game so that the model on your desk will flash and animate with the same lights that are currently running on the labs inside the game. So somewhat of a niche topic, but very cool project. I encourage anyone who, like me, is very into Factorio to check it out, or even if you just like the NeoPixel project sort of stuff. This is a cool one, integrating it with some other data source. So check that one out. And lastly, from the newsletter, we have how to set up a Raspberry Pi's Wi-Fi by just talking. So this is a link to YouTube, where Pete Warden demos the Moonshine voice recognition project to set up the Wi-Fi on a Raspberry Pi. So very cool sort of practical use case of the Moonshine project. All right. And with that, I will take another timestamp here, tell you about the newsletter where all of these items were sourced from. And that was the Python on Microcontrollers weekly newsletter, which is a CircuitPython community run newsletter that gets emailed out every Monday. The complete archives are available online at adafruitdaily.com. And this newsletter highlights the latest Python on hardware related news from around the web, including CircuitPython, Python, and MicroPython developments. And as mentioned before, if you'd like to contribute your own news or projects, you can do so by emailing cpnews@adafruit.com. They always do appreciate contributions to the newsletter, and Hug Report, as always, to Anne for curating all of those wonderful items for us each week. With that, we will get into the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. As a reminder, this one is a quantitative overview of the entire project, a chance to look at the health of the project separate from our status updates. First, we'll talk about some stats on the project overall, and then separately discuss the core, the libraries, and Blinka. So first up, overall this week, we had 7 pull requests merged by 4 different authors. Thank you to G.R. Grant and ElfKing29 were the names this week that stuck out to my eye as newer or less frequent contributors. So G.R. Grant has done lots of great contributions in the libraries recently, and ElfKing29, I think, is also a newer or less frequent contributor. So thanks to them. We had 3 reviewers, thanks to Dan, Scott, and myself. The issues-wise, we had 13 issues closed by 4 people, with 5 new issues opened up by 4 people. And that's it for overall. So I will hand it over to Scott, if you are available to tell us about the core.
Yeah, totally. Thanks, Tim. Okay, so the numbers for the core. We had 4 pull requests merge from 1 author, all from Dan. Dan and myself reviewed. We had 16 open pull requests. Many of these are many, many days old. So again, if folks have open pull requests, please take a look at them. We have 10 closed issues by 3 people and 3 open by 2 people, so we're net down 7, which is incredible. We have 760 open issues. We track those issues using the milestone system, so this is for prioritization for Adafruit-funded work by Dan or myself or for Tim, for example. That is to say that we have 662 open issues marked long-term. These are things that we're not actively working on, but that shouldn't deter you. If it's interesting to you, we're happy to support people who are doing long-term stuff, even if it's not an Adafruit priority. We have no open issues on 10.2, so that's great. We have 17 open issues for 10.3, so Dan's been doing an awesome job whittling down that number. That will be the next minor release of CircuitPython. And then we have 1 issue not assigned to Milestone, so we are keeping up to date. We're not having lots and lots of stuff that hasn't been triaged, so we are keeping up in that regard as well. So that's it for the core.
All right, thank you, Scott. Next up, I will tell you about the CircuitPython libraries. All of these libraries are hosted on GitHub under 2 different library bundles. We have the Adafruit library bundle, which currently has 395 libraries in it, and the community library bundle, which has 178 libraries contributed by members of the community, for a total of 573 different Python libraries that support various things under CircuitPython. Across the Adafruit bundle for the week, we had 3 pull requests merged by 3 different authors. Thanks again to G.R. Grant and ElfKing for library PRs this week. We had 2 reviewers, thanks to Scott and myself. Of the pull requests that were merged, the oldest one was about 3 weeks, 21 days old. The newest couple were tied down at 2 days, and that leaves us right now with 43 pull requests open in the Adafruit bundle. The oldest one of those is a draft that is 1439 days, and I think it is around the same as what was previously the oldest one, or possibly I got them mixed up, but we did close off one of the older ones this week, so making some progress there. The newest one, like usual, is just 1 day old for newest PR. And then issues-wise, we had 3 issues closed by 2 people, 2 new issues opened up by 2 people, leaving us with 783 open issues right now. And there are 2 of those currently that are labeled good first issues. You can find those 2 as well as the others over at circuitpython.org/contributing, which is the website where you should head if you are interested in getting involved in contributing to CircuitPython on the Python side of things. When you first load up that page, circuitpython.org/contributing, you will find a list of open PRs, links over to GitHub, to pull requests that are waiting for a person to come along and review. So you could click through to there, read up on the changed code. You can review that code for spelling, syntax, logic issues, anything like that. If you have the hardware for whatever that library is, you can also test the proposed change on hardware itself. And then once you have looked over the code and done the testing, if you're able to, you can leave a comment on GitHub to let us know how it went. If you found anything when you looked over the code, if it looks good to you, if you were able to test hardware, how'd that go? Did it work out? Did you have issues with certain versions? Did you find trouble where it wasn't working as expected? You can include that sort of stuff in your comment. Once you get comfortable with that process, if you'd like to get leveled up and join the review team that we have there on GitHub, which will get you notifications for new PRs when they come in, make it easy to find. We can work with you to add you to that. If you would like to start submitting some of your own PRs as well, contributing some of your own code, you can do that from the same page. If you click over to the Issues tab, you will be taken to a page that looks visually the same. It's got a bunch of links over to GitHub, but these ones represent issues instead of pull requests. So there is no change that has been proposed yet. It's just an issue. Could be something like a bug that needs fixed, or a new feature that someone wants to add, or a new example, or something like that. And you can take on that work if you would like. The process is just read up on the issue, whatever it is, and then submit your own PR with the changes for it. We do have a learn guide for contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub. We also have folks who are around throughout the week here on Discord who are happy to help you get spun up. So if you are looking to contribute and you're having trouble with any part of the process, whether it's GitHub, version control, actions, pre-commit, or anything else, just come say hi on Discord. Let us know what you're up to. Somebody will be happy to help you out. We want everyone to be able to contribute in whatever way works best for them. And then library-wise, I'll leave you with the new library over in the community bundle this week was the DS1302, which is a real-time clock library. So if anyone is interested in keeping track of time with that device, we now have a library to support it. Next up, I will tell you about the Blinka stats. So Blinka is the compatibility layer that supports the ability to run CircuitPython code, CircuitPython code that interfaces with the libraries mentioned above, but run it on a Raspberry Pi or other single board computer running Linux instead of on a microcontroller, as you would do typically with CircuitPython. So across the Blinka repos this week was no actions, so no pull requests. There are 12 pull requests that are open, ranging from rather old ones, 712 days old, down to the newest ones, which are brand new at 0 days. And I think a handful of these are all Dependabot versions that we could go through and do there as well. Issues-wise, also quiet week. No issues open this week, none closed, leaving us with 79 issues across Blinka. And there are currently 174 different devices that support Adafruit Blinka, or that are supported by Adafruit Blinka, I should say. And that is it for the stats section. Next up, we will get into Hug Reports. So as a reminder, Hug Reports is a chance to highlight folks in the CircuitPython community and beyond for doing awesome things. I'll start, then we'll go down the list of Hug Reports alphabetically as they appear in the notes doc. If you are missing the meeting, then I will read your notes for you when we get to them in the document. So Hug Reports for me this week. Let me get a timestamp. Thank you to Paul Cutler for a great new episode of the CircuitPython show that dropped recently. Related, thank you to Michael Seisberger, I think. Apologies again if I mispronounced that name as well, for the very cool Scroll Kit project. I had seen this back when it was mentioned, I think, here and in the maybe show and tell room or elsewhere on the Discord, but I had not looked into it as deeply as I did after listening to this episode of the podcast. So really, really cool stuff. There's lots of neat animations. I'm actually really excited to pull out my Matrix Portal and try this thing out after listening to that podcast. So kudos to both of them. Thank you to Smitka as well on Discord for continued work on Pico Game, as well as submitting a core PR that speeds up the USB HID polling. So this will be nice for games, but it's also an improvement for other USB host-based projects in CircuitPython. And then finally for me, thanks to Liz for organizing CircuitPython Day and coordinating a stream schedule with several folks, and that's what I've got. So next up, I will pass it over to Scott.
Thank you, Tim. Okay, Hug Report to Lady Ada, who did a board design review on the Game Boy cart and schematic as well. So I'm working on that. And then also to CN Lohr, Charles, for joining the PID.codes review crew. I'm really happy to have their help.
All right. Thank you, Scott. And that is it today for Hug Reports. So I will take the next timestamp for status updates, and we'll move on to the next of our round robin section, status updates. This one is our time to tell folks what we're up to individually. And again, I'll start, then we'll go down the list of folks as they appear in the notes doc. When I call on you, you could take a couple minutes to tell us what you've been working on since the last meeting and what you plan to get up to until the next meeting. And we can always bump discussions down to in the weeds as needed if they become too long. So I will kick us off again. Last week, the sampler keyboard with Fruit Jam guide that I mentioned during the meeting was published. So that's out there now. Folks can find that on the Learn system. After that, I basically turned the majority of my attention to the Teenage Engineering EP2350 Ting device. I have gotten I2S duplex support working and submitted a PR to the core of CircuitPython with that, as well as a board def for the EP2350 is included in that same one. I have worked on the NAU88L21 audio codec driver library. This is the chip that is inside the EP2350 device. This is the one that supports I2S duplex input and output. So this is the first driver that uses the new APIs that are in the PR mentioned above. This week, especially towards the end of last week, I was able to get some really improved audio out of this device by configuring various filters and other things that the chip supports. And the way that I was able to find these things was using LLM agent feedback loop. So this device outputs over a 3.5 millimeter cable. I got a little USB adapter that allows me to feed that back into the Raspberry Pi that the agent loop is running on, and it's able to record audio from that device. So using that feedback loop, it was able to go through and test a bunch of the different configurations. I also hooked it up with a speaker sitting right next to it, so it could actually play a recording of me talking that the microphone could pick up as well, and then it could play that back into the computer. And it went through and iterated on a bunch of those settings and got the audio sounding much, much, much better than it was originally. So very cool stuff there to be able to see that work with its feedback loop. And I've started writing the pages for a guide on that as well. So probably next week or the week after, there should be a guide for folks who want to use CircuitPython with their own Teenage Engineering Ting device. The other thing that came up for me over this weekend, I was playing with the Fruit Jam and the Pico game module, and I used it to build a 3D file system navigator that is inspired by the scene in Jurassic Park where the little girl says it's a Unix system that they find on the computers in the control room. And this was kind of just a for fun thing that I wanted to throw together. I probably will end up putting this in a playground for folks that want to run it on their own Fruit Jam. And that is what I've been up to. So next up, I will pass it over to Scott.
Thank you. So I'm heads down with this latest revision of the Game Boy cartridge. Game hardware always tends to take precedence because it takes time to get back. So I got the review from Lemoore last week, and I'm just fixing that stuff right now. Hope to have that done today and back to her for a final review before it's ordered. And then tomorrow I'll be back to the Hardware in the Loop stuff. There's no hardware changes that I know of for Hardware in the Loop stuff yet. So it's just a matter of getting all the software to where I want it to be. The goal that I'm aiming for is I want to start using it for on-the-device testing for the ESPs. So I want to get all those set up, and then I want to use it for using a clanker to update IDF. I think we're like one patch revision behind. And then I also do want, somebody pointed out we never added C5 support, so I want to see how we can do that as well. So that's my focus for the week.
All right. Thank you, Scott. And that is it for status updates today. This would be the time where we talk about in the weeds topics if we had any, but there are none listed here. So we are going to scooch right on past to the wrap up, which I will take a timestamp for and scroll myself to the correct place. place over here, and then tell you that this has been the CircuitPython weekly meeting for July 27th, 2026. Thank you to everyone who participated. If you'd like to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, and those of us that work on CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from the Adafruit shop at adafruit.com. The video of the meeting will be released on YouTube at youtube.com/Adafruit, and the podcast will be made available on major podcast services. It will also get featured in the Python for Microcontrollers newsletter, which you can find by visiting adafruitdaily.com if you'd like to subscribe to that. The next meeting will get held at the usual day and time next week on Monday. That is the 8th of August at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific time. The meeting, as always, will be held here on the Discord in the CircuitPython dev channel. You can join anytime by going to adafru.it/discord if you'd like to be notified about any changes to the day or time of the upcoming meetings. You can ask to be added to the CircuitPythonista's role there on the Discord. And that is all for this week's meeting. Thanks again, everyone. We hope to see you all next week, and goodbye for now.